Coming up on this week's episode, we're talking all things Bournemouth and Brentford, plus a look at how our teams are faring up for the new season. We've got all our usual features, so let's get started. Hello, and welcome to a new season of View from the Sideline podcast. It's Chris here, and Liam is here. Hello, Liam.
Hello, Chris. Long time no speak, or about football at least.
Well, yeah, it's been, I think December was the last time we actually recorded a podcast. So many things have happened, many technology things have advanced, where it's taken us nearly 2 days to sort out how we're actually going to record now because they took away Skype.
Know. I think we were the only
And
people using it.
yeah, and they integrate it into Teams. You can't use Teams because to pay for it to record. So, anyway. Enough of that. A lot's happened in the footballing world. A lot's happened to my team anyway. A few trophies in the cabinet.
Yes, a few extra players.
A few, yeah. We're going to talk about that in a bit, but we're going to go in and look at some of the teams that have had quite strange, shall we say, summer so far. And we'll look at Bournemouth first as they've decided to sell three quarters of their back line and not really replace them with anyone. Zabriani, Kerkez, is it Huijsen?
Poison,
All
yeah.
leaving.
And
All
Kepa.
leaving to good things, shall we say, because obviously one of them's gone to PSG. Obviously one's gone to Liverpool. And does Zabriani get to Real Madrid? Is he Real Madrid? Can't remember now.
Huijsen went to Madrid, didn't he?
And Zabriani's gone to PSG. So yeah, all moved on, and they've made a pretty penny as well in selling those players. But obviously, we've had one game this season. We can't really go by their one game, obviously, because it's against Liverpool. But quite strange to sell. I know pressure of obviously trying to sell players. Especially when you've got clubs like PSG and Real Madrid coming in for them, it's hard to keep them. But quite a strange thing to do, really, to sell three of your four best defenders.
It is. It's the email you don't want to receive on Football Manager, where your player's kicking off because he wants to leave. But yeah, obviously they've bought in a left back to replace Kerkez. I think he was relatively highly thought of. I think Villa were after him actually this time last year, but didn't bring him in. And they bought him in for 14 million, I think it was, according to my notes anyway. And then they've bought in Diakite as well,
That was
to
only
replace
recent though,
a
wasn't it?
very recent, just before the game at the weekend, or on Friday, I should say. Yeah, to lose you, well, three of your back four, and plus Kepa obviously went back because he was a loan player for them last season and did pretty well, all things considered. I thought he had quite a good loan spell. So really, four of your back five that did so well last season have disappeared. Two have been replaced at the moment. I've got to say, actually, I was expecting the worst. Liverpool in your opening game away as well.
I thought they
But
played well.
actually, they did play well. That defending, I think four goals probably did flatter Liverpool a little bit in the end. But defensively, yes, probably not as solid. But going forward, just as dangerous as they were last season. I still
Yeah,
think
and
Semenyo's a great,
he
great
looks
player.
good. Yeah, he looks good. I mean, to go two behind as well and to get at Anfield and to come back to get it two all. They signed Petrovic from Chelsea as well. He's a good gokeeper. I'm surprised that Chelsea didn't keep him, if I'm honest. He was one of the ones,
He
one of
wasn't.
our eight, nine goalies that we had. I thought would probably
Yeah.
be worth keeping hold of. But I mean, they've come in with some fairly decent money for him. So, £200. The other question we both had. This leads into the Brentford side of this. This is Atara.
Yeah.
Now, I was just very confused for one as to why they wanted him. This is Brentford. And going by how his stats looked last season, I just don't know where they've come up with this figure of £42 million. I don't know how they've got. I mean, I know they've sold Mbeumo to Matt and they've got the money, but to me, it feels like they've just kind of just gone, well, we want
Panicked.
him. Let's just put a figure down and send it. And Bournemouth have been like, well, sorry, why 42 million? They probably like packing his bags for him. It's just a very strange.
Obviously they needed a replacement for Mbeumo. And they have that approach where stats are what they look at, and it's the money ball approach, shall we say, they're still using. Obviously, there's something in that has thrown up that he can do the same as what Mbeumo can do. But looking at it in a good Bournemouth team last season, I think he got 9 goals in all competitions. You're not replacing the, I think it was 20 odd that Mbeumo got last season, was it? Or near enough.
No,
So, yeah, the price tag did raise a few
it's very,
eyebrows,
and I
certainly
know,
for me.
and I know, there's been a lot of it, this transfer window, especially. I think they're almost going to break the record, I think, Premier League record of money spent. But it just seemed very odd. But they, Brentford, I think they've done well to get Kelleher. Obviously, they lost Flecken. They brought Kelleher in. I think that's good, a good sign, and that's good for him as well, because I think, I think he had glimpses last season where he was in goal for Liverpool when Alisson was out. He played particularly well. And the problem was out with Alisson being back.
Just want to say, by the way, I know that Flecken is just over 30, I think, 31, 32. 8.5 million. I thought he was better than that, to be honest. I thought they could have held out for a little bit more there. Keepers tend to last a little bit longer.
And
He's still
they
probably got another 5, 6 years in him. It just struck me as a relatively small amount. They've actually made a loss on him. I'm looking at the price they paid, £11 million for him, and they've sold him for 8.5.
and they've lost
Considering
Norgard
how
as
good
well,
he
haven't they?
was, Norgard's gone
He's
to,
gone to
and obviously,
Arsenal.
Visser looks likely to leave.
Well, he's I saw today he's completely wiped any history of him being at the club, hasn't he, on his social media. Apparently he's taken down every photo of him in a Brentford shirt from his
That's
social media. He's not
the pettiness that we love to see. It's just, I mean, to
and
be fair, it doesn't mean anything. John Duran did that last summer and still ended up starting the season for Villa, obviously left in January. But
he's already gone, hasn't he? He's already gone.
he
He's
has,
come. He's gone to another club, and he's left
he's he went to
Saudi.
Fenerbahce, I
I know.
think.
I saw he'd gone already, which
He's
is really strange. But
big
I mean,
personality, and it with in the same team as
and
Ronaldo,
it,
big personality is not going to do
yeah.
well.
So it looks like the Viss is going to go, but obviously Brentford are holding out on that one for money, because I think they feel that they can get quite a bit for him.
And rightly so, he's the top scorer in the Premier League, isn't he? So rightly
No,
so.
I would, he's they're gonna want top dollar for him, but I just can't see anyone paying the amount that Brentford want, because otherwise I think he would have already gone. So
I could see Newcastle maybe paying it after Isak's gone, and we're assuming that Isak is going to go. It's
Well,
just,
he's
it
going the
has just
same.
flashed up on my
He's just
phone.
released a statement, hasn't he, saying that he's promises have been
The
broken. And
relationship can't continue. Promises have been broken. So yeah, it's not looking
No,
likely that he's going to
so
pull on
he's
a
off.
Newcastle
But I
shirt.
saw Liverpool already put a £110 million bid for him, and they rejected it. So I don't know how much they're actually wanting for him. But I
I
don't.
think Newcastle have asked for 150, which
That's just
is
ridiculous.
a
Like, look, he's a
lot
good
of money.
player and he scored a lot of goals. But no one is worth 150 million. Then they're not going to get that.
I mean,
They might get 120, 125 maybe, but it's going to be heavily put in with add-ons, I would have thought. There's no way that Liverpool are going to be able to pay that outright.
It is a high amount, but when you consider to Newcastle, he is probably the difference from having a good Champions League
Champions
run. If you
League,
get out the group stage of a Champions League, I think to Villa it was worth like 40 million. Qualifying for next year's Champions League could again potentially be worth sort of 100 million plus. So, and then you have potentially winning another cup or anywhere else you might finish in the league. So to Newcastle,
He's worth that.
he probably is
No,
worth
you're
that. But
right.
to Liverpool, he let's face it, they've in with a good shout of winning the title this year. So is spending that 150 million going to guarantee them the title that they're already probably likely to win? You're looking
No,
at a bit
you're
more
right.
of a gamble, to be honest, but we'll wait and see for that one. I mean, they seem quite keen, so I could personally see them, maybe not paying 150 million outright, but quite possibly paying, 120,
And
130
you
with
got to
some
think they've
add-ons.
spent a lot on the other striker, Ekitike, as well. And it's
Yeah,
not
he'd
like
be
he's
annoyed.
come in and like not done anything. I mean, he scored at the weekend and
Yeah.
he scored in a couple of their friendlies as well. So it's not like he's done anything wrong.
No,
And
you
the
would be annoyed,
way,
wouldn't
well, yeah, the way that they play one up top as well. So I don't know how that sort of that will figure into it, but. Yeah, no, he definitely looks like he's off. It's just what I think. I'm assuming from what I hear, it's only Liverpool that are interested or that can actually, front that sort of money. So we'll wait and see. But just going to talk about obviously Chelsea and Villa now, because obviously there's a lot happened since December when we last the last podcast. Club World Cup. Start there. Very surprised, obviously, that we won it. Going into it, I would have thought that PSG were probably one of the favourites, having just come off winning the Champions League. And yeah,
I
I
mean,
really
the
don't know where that came
performance,
from. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
as some of the best football I've seen Chelsea play for years, especially going forward. And then Sunday happened, and it just felt like that they'd forgotten everything that they'd just done. It was like very, very weird. But obviously, a lot of coming. I can't go through all the people that have gone and come in because we'll be here all night. See, obviously, Gittens, João Pedro, Delap, Hato, Isugo are my five that I'm just going to highlight here. Gittens, from what I've seen so far, very impressed. Very good at going forward. Likes to take him. He's a bit like Madueke, but I'd say better than Madueke from what I've seen so far. João Pedro, I mean, a lot was said when he joined. 60 million, a lot of money, and then he bangs in two goals in the semi-final and then scores in the final. Very good. Delap. Interesting one. Definitely, I would say one striker that we need that sort of physical presence, sort of the Diego Costa like. Not sure. I'm not sure. I think Pedro starts over Delap for
Thanks
me.
for te thanks for telling me now, Chris, because I did ask you for before fantasy league, and yeah, I went with the lap, didn't I? And it was a
I
bad.
think he'll start games. I think João Pedro will be more favoured because he's sort of an all round striker. He can come and get the ball. He'll be more versatile, I would say. He can come out from wide as well. Hato.
Gutted,
Yeah,
gutted
I
that
know,
you're
that was a
getting these
sore
cup.
one for you.
It was, yeah. Another
But
Ajax Academy graduate who
and
is,
another versatile defender, could play
or
centre back,
defender,
left
yeah,
back,
or in
in
midfield.
front of the centre, yeah. And Isugo, he's one that we actually signed, I think, in January, but he went straight back out on loan. Looked really good when he came on the Club World Cup. And an honourable mention for Andre Santos, who's been at the club for a year, but has
Yeah.
finally broken in and he's done well. Madueke gone, João Félix gone, Drewsbury Hall gone. I mean, he's just literally gone. Deadwood can go, and Nkunku go in, Jackson more likely go in. I mean, we're talking, I think, nearly almost £300 million worth of players sold.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And there's more to come. Renato Vega is on his way out. Carney, Chukwuemeka, you know, that guy that wanted to play first team football, leaving Villa for first team football. Not gonna happen. He's going. So yeah, a lot of changes, and it's hard to see. I think we'll finish top four again. I don't know where about. I don't think we'll win the league, but I think we'll be in and around top four. But it'll be good to see. Obviously, last year we were in the Conference League, so the games were a bit easier midweek, so the rotation was a lot easier. It's just nice to get back in Champions League, if I'm honest. It's
It's
not,
been
you
a little
know,
while, hasn't it?
finishing fourth. Finishing fourth, winning the Conference League, winning the Club World Cup, I would say a successful season for Maresca last
Think it
season.
certainly has. Yeah, certainly for his first season in charge, I think it has. I think looking from an outside perspective, I'm a little bit scared as a team that was hopefully going to be competing for that final Champions League spot. I look at your transfer dealings and look at ours, and yeah, there's no real comparison between the two.
Yeah, we get slated so much online for how much we pay for players, but they never really take into account the money that we've been able to generate, especially Club World Cup. You're looking around about the 90, £95 million area for how much they made going over there, and then the amount that we've sold, from my understanding, we're actually in profit at the moment, so.
Yeah, still more players to go as well. Just looking, looking at the squad that you've got at the moment. Sterling's without a number. Fofana is without a number. Disasi without a number. Ben Chilwell without a number. Yeah, it's I mean, you're probably even in those. You mentioned Chukwuemeka as well. Probably with those sort of six players that you've mentioned, you're still looking at north of kind of 60, 70 million, I'd say comfortably. And that's if like Chukwuemeka could probably easily go out on loan, have an amazing season, and then you could double your money on him potentially. Yeah, it's I guess it is looking like it's coming back to the good days for Chelsea, certainly with what I've seen so far. I do not necessarily question why you signed João Pedro, but I was sort of looking at his stats when you signed him. I know he's only 23, he's still got a long time ahead of him, but he's only got over 10 goals or 10 league goals in a season once, and that was in the Championship with Watford. He's not the most prolific, and I just kind of think the strikers that you've had down the years who have been prolific, if he has the same kind of season for you as he did for Brighton last season, 10 goals in 30 games, and I look at Lukaku, who scored more than that for you. Albeit in more games, and that was sort of considered a disaster. If he's going to do that rate again, I don't know how patient Chelsea will be with him. I guess really the same applies for Delap as well, because he shone in an Ipswich side that obviously went down last season. I mean, getting 12 goals in the league in a relegated side is obviously a good season. He's not really had any other opportunity to kind of prove himself. Certainly not at the Premier League level, so I'll be interested to see how he gets on. I still think you are a world-class striker, short, but I now look at everywhere else. Obviously, it's unfortunate that Colwill is out for the rest of the season, and I know that he's sort of prioritising the centre back. I think
Well, I think actually,
midfield is pretty set, but I think you're maybe a centre back and a striker short. Just from being at the very top, but I actually think you'll be close to Arsenal this year for third. I'm going Man City and Liverpool to sort of slog it out between the two of them, and then I think the best of the rest. I think Arsenal will have slightly slipped back, and you'll have advanced. So it'll be interesting to see out of you two who gets that third spot.
What about Villa then, mate?
To be fair, mate, not much to report. we've sold our women's team, which obviously
Funny that.
slightly dubious. But to be fair, it was always going to be a season of who we can keep hold of rather than who we're going to sign. We knew we were going to be tight on PSR. Yeah, the one signing we have got I know absolutely nothing about, which is Evan Gesson. Played for Nice. I'm just looking at his stats now. 12 goals in Ligue 1 last season.
Not bad.
Not bad, not bad at all. I think he'll provide decent competition for Watkins up front, or maybe we'll try and play him a little bit deeper, play him alongside Watkins. I'm just pleased that I'm still seeing the likes of Emi Martinez. Ollie Watkins, Tielemans was rumoured to be going at one point. We were also rumoured, Boubacar Kamara was rumoured to be going at one point as well, but he signed a new deal, so that was good. And then, of course, Morgan Rodgers didn't have his best game at the weekend, but he's still a Villa player for now, and they've all been rumoured to be leaving. I'm hoping, I didn't want Ramsey to go, which he's obviously officially done as of yesterday. But I'm hoping that's our financial troubles over. But from what I'm reading now, I think any money that we spend over the next few years, if we're going to be competing in European football, we need to recoup in some kind of transfer dealings. So I think that basically means if we spend £100 million on a player, we've got to get 100 million back in player sales. And that's for the UEFA ruling, not PSR, which is different and ran by the Premier League.
Yeah.
It's all very complicated, but we've kept the core of our squad together. Ramsey aside, I think we didn't have the best pre-season, but probably not helped by the rumours that everyone was meant to be leaving. We have got some deadwood off the books, kind of similar to what you guys are doing. So Philippe Coutinho was still our biggest earner. He is now officially not a Villa player anymore. As of today, we've lost Dendonka as well, who was one of our higher earners. For what reason, I do not know. It looks like Leon Bailey might be leaving as well, which was probably best for both parties at the minute. He was great for us a couple of seasons ago, but last year he's just lost in confidence or something, and his form dipped. So it's probably best we cash in on him now because he's 28. So get some money for him while we still can, I think. And we're starting to look a little bit better. We're no longer at 96% wages to turnover. We're now at something like 80%, which is still quite high, but more
Yeah, well, that's pretty
manageable.
good.
So yeah, we've made some decent progress. As for my sort of ambitions this season, I've got to be honest, I'm going into this season a little bit more unknown than the last few. I was confident last year that we'd mount a good challenge to get back in the Champions League, and we left it late, but we did eventually mount a challenge, gutted to miss out the way that we did on that horrible refereeing decision. But I'm happy to be playing Europa League. I think that was what I was hoping. Not, I was hoping for Champions League, but I think realistically, what I was looking at last season was to have a decent run in the Champions League and to qualify for Europa for this season, which is exactly what we ended up doing. This season, I genuinely don't know because we've not invested really in anybody. I think it depends on whether the people that are left can be bothered. So if Martinez was looking to move,
Yeah.
is he going to be bothered that he's still a Villa player? And the same with Kamara, Morgan Rodgers, and people like that. Once I think we've got a few games under the belt, and if they look interested, then I might be hopeful again. But now, I think I'd probably take the same kind of finish as we had last year.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably take sixth. I'd be more than happy with sixth because realistically, top four, I think, is pretty set between you guys, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City. Then I think you're looking at, again, Newcastle. I don't know. It depends if they keep Isak or not. I think with Isak, they're comfortably the fifth best squad in the Premier League. Without him, it'll be a bit closer. And you're also looking at United and Spurs. They can't have a worse season than the
No.
one that they had last year. So you'd be looking at both of them to be at least in the top 10. And then you still got your Forests and probably another surprise package because there always seems to be one every season, whoever that might be. It's going to be quite competitive. So yeah, happy for any European qualification again. I think if we can keep consistently doing that, we can at least kind of recoup some of the revenue.
Yeah, no, I think you'll be there or thereabouts again. If not, maybe just slipping into that fifth place. I don't think Newcastle will. I think Newcastle will be seventh or eighth this season. I think without Isak, I think they're going to struggle. I think they're going to lose goals. So.
And I think we showed last year we don't have the biggest squad by any means,
No.
but we're not small, we're not lacking in players like we used to be, and we struggled to cope with, Champions League midweek and then a game in the league bookending your sort of Saturday and Sunday. It is difficult, and the fact that they are sort of hamstrung by the same financial rules that we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do a whole podcast on PSR these days, Chris. I think I genuinely think it's awful. And I do think it's stopping people from properly challenging at the top end
Yeah,
of the
there's
table.
this.
And I get that the idea is to keep clubs sustainable. And if, owners leave, then you don't want clubs going under. I understand that. But what I don't understand is how Villa, who are debt free, Newcastle, who are also pretty much debt free, are being classed as unsustainable, and yet Man United, with £1 billion worth of debt, who was laying off all the tea ladies and things like that, are considered a sustainably run club. I don't
Doesn't make
personally
sense, does
understand
it?
that.
No.
No, and they're free to spend hundreds of millions of pounds. I mean, I get the revenue that they bring
They've
in is
not even sold
extortionate
any. They've not
every
really
year,
sold
but
anyone. That's the thing.
yeah, that's it.
No.
It's all done on sort of like shirt sales and, having their name plastered all over the world, and they're still a very popular team to follow worldwide, and I do get that, but yeah, I don't see how one's sustainable and the other one isn't. It doesn't make any sense to me, but yeah, I think it won't be too long before the rules are slightly tweaked to make it a little bit easier to compete.
Yeah.
I can see that certainly happening because Everton have suffered, obviously. Nottingham Forest are, borderline, not quite in the same position that Villa and Newcastle are, but they've also been a victim of it recently. So I think more teams will sort of finish in the European places and wonder why they're bothered. And the more teams that do that, the more likely it is that it will change.
Yeah.
I hope so anyway.
Okay. We're going to go straight into some Wonders of White. Have you missed this, Liam? Please tell me you've missed this.
It's my favourite feature, Chris. You know this. This is what I live and breathe for.
Okay. Josh Achamapong is the second youngest player to start for Chelsea in the opening game of a Premier League season after Glenn Johnson in 2003-2004 season.
Glenn still with the records at Chelsea.
Ruben Amorim has now lost 15 of his 28 Premier League games. This is the fastest a manager has reached 15 defeats in the competition without taking charge of a newly promoted team in that period. Not going well.
It's not, is it? Sorry.
Since the start of the 2023-24 season, Arsenal scored the most goals from corners in the Premier League, while Man United have conceded the most from corners.
Was bound to happen, wasn't
23 goals from corners they've
Wow.
conceded. And lastly, on Saturday, Blackpool's Noel Ennis became the first player in the top four tiers of English football to score two goals and be sent off in the first half of a league game since Robbie Keane did for Tottenham against Bolton in the Premier League in February
Wow.
2007.
Blimey, heck, there you go.
Yeah, there
That's
you
a fact for you.
go. I believe, I'm hoping you've got some of our predictions that we made last
I
season to
do.
hand. Yeah.
Shall we quickly
Yeah,
run through
quickly
them?
go through them. Yeah.
I think you're an oracle, Chris. So
Oh, okay.
we're going to see if you can remember
Oh, I
your
cannot.
predictions. So, who will be champions? Who did you think were going to be champions last season, Chris?
Liverpool?
You thought Man City.
Oh, right.
Thought
I've
Man
got
City.
that one
Same
wrong.
as me, to be fair. That was
Okay.
the one you got wrong. You're going to be better at these. Who did you think were going down?
Probably said Southampton, it which I think I said Everton, didn't I? Did I say
You did.
Everton?
You did
Yeah.
say Everton. Yes, Southampton, Ipswich, and Everton. So you got 2 out of 3. As did I, because I also went for Ipswich and Southampton. But I put Nottingham Forest. So
Oh, oh, oh
how
dear.
embarrassing was that? The biggest overachiever. Can you remember?
I'm not sure, but
I can give you a clue. We've just basically criticised them right at the start of this podcast.
oh right, was it Bournemouth or
It
Brentford?
was Bournemouth, yes. We both went for Bournemouth, actually.
Okay.
And obviously, and I think we've got a decent. Nottingham Forest probably were the biggest, but
Yeah.
after that, Bournemouth weren't bad. Biggest underachiever,
Did I
I
put
think
Tottenham Man United?
you put Man United, and I think
Okay.
that's probably fair. Probably a
Yeah.
tie between the two. Make a wild prediction. I don't actually think you did make a wild prediction, but I did, so I'm going to read it out. And that was 9 managers to be sacked or resign. And I had them as Russell Martin, Sean Dyche, Ten Hag, Steve Cooper, Maresca. That wasn't a good
Oh
shout.
dear.
Postecoglou, Nuno Santo, also not a good shout. Eddie Howe and Gary O'Neill.
To be
Out of that
fair,
lot, six out of those 9 to go. And
no,
then
that's pretty
there was another manager because Southampton sacked 2. So seven managers went
yeah.
instead of 9, but yeah, not too bad. Where did you think Chelsea were going to come last season?
Fourth.
You did indeed. I went for fifth. I obviously wasn't as hopeful as you were. Where did you think Villa were going to finish last season?
Probably fifth or sixth.
You did say sixth. I
I
was more
can't
hopeful last
remember.
season. I went for fourth. We both had Russell Martin as a first managerial sacking. I mean, he was early to go, but I don't know if he was first. I can't remember off the
I
top of my
can't
head now. I'm
remember now.
going to have a look at that. The best signing of the summer last season. This is really casting your mind back. Can you remember
No,
who you
I'm
put?
not a clay.
You went for Emile Smith Rowe.
Okay.
He wasn't bad. I think
He
he
had
had
a
a
good
decent season
season,
for
yeah.
Fulham.
Yeah.
I went for Chiesa.
Oh dear.
Who I think only played about 6 games. So
Yeah.
yeah, the worst signing of the season.
I would have
Can
put
you
Man
remember?
United, someone from Man United, I reckon.
You didn't. I went for someone from Man United. You went
Oh.
for someone from Spurs.
Oh, did I?
You did.
Who did I go for then?
You went for Dominic Solanke.
Oh yeah, I was pretty.
65 million pounds
Yeah.
and. Yeah, I think people could make an argument that that was the worst signing of the season. I think I went for Lenny Yoro, who was a bad signing, but
Because he was
purely
injured.
for injuries for most of the season. It wasn't his fault or Man United's
No.
fault. One team to get promoted from each division. I'm not going to ask you to remember this, Chris, but this is where your oracleness comes into it. You went for Sunderland, Wrexham, and Doncaster,
Oh.
all three of which went up.
Damn, I should have put money on that.
And you said that Yeovil were going to. Can you remember where you thought Yeovil were going to finish?
Top half, I expect.
You went for 12th
Oh,
last
right.
season.
Oh, I wasn't far off.
Can you remember where they did finish? Because I can't.
15th or 16th, I think it was.
I said 18th.
Oh,
Is that the right
18, wasn't
table?
it? Yeah,
18th.
yeah.
I went for 15th.
Oh.
So not too bad, but yeah, you did pretty well there, I've got to say.
But we are going to do next week. I think we'll do some more predictions.
Yeah, it's a cheating a little bit because we'll be 2 games in, but I think
But
it's still
yeah.
valid.
We gotta get a feel. We gotta get a feel for it, haven't we? Do you want to do a quick "Who am I" before we go?
Let's do it.
Okay. So it's a long list of teams, by the way. So starting off at Cambridge, Hamilton Wanderers, Waikato, probably murdered that name, then West Brom, and then there was loan spells at Barnsley, Brighton, Birmingham, Bristol City. There's something at B's. He must like B names. Millwall, Leicester, then signed for Leicester, went out to Ipswich on loan, signed for Leeds, signed for Burnley, signed for Newcastle, and he's still playing, but not at Newcastle.
Okay, so he's got one more team to go after
Yeah,
Newcastle.
can't give
So
you a team,
can
I'm
you
afraid.
just so the order was Leeds, Leicester, Newcastle at the end there.
Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle.
Leeds, Burnley, Leicester, Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle. There was a Leicester in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, Leicester, Leeds, Burnley,
Leicester,
Newcastle.
Leeds, Leicester, Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle, and then another team.
Another.
Christ, he has been around some. Started out at Cambridge as well.
Yeah, that is a bit of a red herring. I'll give you a clue. Bit of a red herring, because
Okay.
he's not English.
Okay. Right. So Leicester, Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle. Like sort of gradually getting more north as he goes there.
Yeah, and he played the most for Burnley. He was at Burnley for 5 seasons.
It's quite difficult.
I've got another clue if you
I'll
want
try.
another clue.
Yeah, I might need another clue.
For the team he's at is now, they are in the Premier League. They won at the weekend. He might have scored a goal or two.
Who scored twice at the weekend? I've had a few late nights and early mornings since then. Who scored twice at the weekend? Can't be Semenya.
No.
They didn't buy him from Newcastle.
I would say, if I was to take a guess, he probably, his home country is probably the furthest away that you could probably get
Oh, so
to
he's like an
here.
Aussie. He's got to be an Aussie. Oh, I know. I mean, he plays for Nottingham Forest now, doesn't
He does, yeah.
he? Yeah, I forgot he does so many. Chris, it's got to be Chris Wood, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And to be
Of
fair,
course.
36 goals in 68 games he's had for Forest so far. So, yeah. But
Oh, I forgot he played for Leicester and Leeds.
yeah.
But yeah, I remember him obviously Burnley and then flopped at Newcastle, and now he's just scoring for fun, isn't he?
Yeah. Anything
Good
else for this
shout.
week? Yeah, anything else for this week, Liam?
Not this time.
Okay, we'll be back next week.